Welcome back to the Hawks Talk podcast, your source for everything about the Upper Valley Nighthawks and the NECBL. This is season 3, episode 5, Intern Takeover. I'm your host, Phoebe Winters, joined by co-host Caitlin Beal and our public address announcer, Greg Fennell. Caitlin, Greg, how are we doing?
Definitely not feeling like an intern today. I don't know when I got taken over, but okay, whatever you say. Y'all
I
in charge.
personally am feeling quite like an intern today.
Actually, look at that background, and I'm waiting for somebody to bring you a snifter of brandy and a cigar.
No, I know. This is our classroom building for people who can't see it. Right now, it's like wood paneled. There's like a whole shelf of these antique plates in the background. Very fancy, but it's just like my classroom building.
Now, I would like to introduce a special guest to the podcast. And if you've been a longtime fan of the Hawks Talk podcast, you'll definitely recognize his voice. It's former Nighthawks broadcaster Ian Behnke. Welcome to the podcast, Ian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So glad to be back here on Hawks Talk and back with the fans of Upper Valley.
So, this is a bit of a role reversal for you. You hosted the podcast for 2 years, and now you're a guest on Hawks Talk. How does that feel?
It's great. It's great to see how much this has grown from just casually it being a revival of the podcast 2 years ago to hastily doing it at the field or at the Hotel Coolidge. But whenever we got the chance to now it being sustained throughout the off season, it's great to see it grow year after year, and it's great to see that's in good hands.
So, Ian, you spent 2 summers with the Nighthawks. Can you share with the listeners where you are now and a little bit about your journey to get there?
Yeah, so I'm in a sunny Jupiter, Florida right now. I'm down for Marlins and Cardinals spring training. I'm here at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium, home of not only the Cardinals and Marlins for spring training, but also for their A-ball affiliates, the Jupiter Hammerheads and Palm Beach Cardinals, for the entire minor league season for the Florida State League season, which starts April 4th is opening day. Right now for spring training, I'm kind of helping out wherever they need me. But once the minor league season starts, I'm one of our broadcasters over the course of the season. So ready to get going on that. Spring training wrapping up this weekend. And after that, it's all systems go Florida State League. And excited to get back on the mic for 100 plus games this coming season.
And to throw it back a little bit to where you started, have you always been a baseball fan?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as I could watch TV or stay awake long enough to be at a ball game, I was pretty much always either in front of the TV watching a game, the Orioles are my hometown team. So Orioles was the team I grew up with. But definitely whenever I get the chance to watch baseball, I had a rare day off the other day. Sure enough, I found another ball game to go to. So I went to another game over in West Palm Beach, not too far away from here. But baseball, definitely the first love and biggest love when it comes to the sports world.
Did you always know you wanted to work in baseball, or is this more of a newer discovery?
Yeah, so I feel like the common dream for a lot of people or a lot of kids growing up is to play the sport. But I always say once kids started throwing curveballs, that threw a curveball in my play. And I knew my career aspirations were no longer on the diamond, but then it was finding a way to stay with the sport if it wasn't playing it. And I ended up going to a summer camp, a play-by-play sports broadcasting camp in Baltimore, and fell in love with doing play-by-play broadcasting and just stuck with it. I was in middle school at that time, but from there, just finding ways to get involved with my high school. I ended up having to form my high school's sports broadcasting club. COVID threw a wrench in that as well, which is crazy now thinking that some kids coming up in school now, and maybe some of the players on this Nighthawks team, that was a middle school thing maybe for them, which is wild to think about for me. But yeah, from there, going to college, going to Hofstra University and staying involved there and making connections, which ended up getting me down here to the Sunshine State.
And your time at the Nighthawks, do you have any favorite memories or moments of your time with the team?
I think just working with all the people that I work with the Nighthawks, not only the Nighthawks, but all the broadcasters in the New England leagues, it's a unique setup that the NECPL has, where all the team's broadcasters kind of work together. And that definitely helps you out with learning different styles. When you sit down with the same person for a 40-game season, sure, you get locked in with that one person, you have great chemistry, but you don't get that experience of working with a lot of different people, which really helps you a lot when you go to that next level. When you go back to school and you have a different broadcast partner for every game, it's good to have that versatility to know, okay, I have this person, they know a lot, I can kind of hand the reins off to them, as opposed to maybe someone else who isn't as versed in the sport. You might need to help them out a little bit more and give them some of those soft tosses. So, and then just the entire creative team, especially with the Hawks Talk podcast last year, it becoming a different beast by itself. It was a great experience to have that under my belt and a little bit more of that free form talking experience aside from just the broadcast itself.
Yeah, I can definitely hear your podcast experience come in these answers. I like to ask people this question, especially since Phoebe and I are new to the team this year. If you could describe the culture of the Nighthawks in a few words, what words would you choose?
It's absolutely a community, not just what the team and its staff is itself, but also the relationship with the fans and everyone that comes to the ballpark. You have those fans that you're always going to see camping out behind home plate, but then also maybe the families that are coming to a game for the first time or might be visiting the Upper Valley region. It's definitely a community feel inside of the press box, on the field, around the field. It's great to be a part of and definitely unique. You get a little bit of it here with the minor league season and with spring training, but it's a lot of, a lot of people moving around. You don't get that chance to, after the game, go to Applebee's with a lot of the people after the game. But and you don't see the players around as much, especially the major league guys that are going to be out of here. Come the end of the week, they'll be back in St. Louis or just a bit south, about an hour and a half south in Miami. But you get that relationship in the small town feel with the Nighthawks.
Yeah, definitely. And then kind of looking towards your future, do you have any big future career goals? Like, where do you see yourself in a few years?
Well, the hope is some point down the line to be with a major league team as one of their broadcasters, but at this point, it's very much taking it year by year and seeing where I am. I had to be proactive to get this role and pretty much reach out to every team, every minor league team, and say, "Hey, are you looking for someone?" And just got lucky enough to catch on here with Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium and the team here. But if I had no clue what lies ahead when this season ends, if I'm going to come back here for 2026 or look maybe somewhere closer at home, somewhere on the West Coast even. I'm open to wherever I need to go to get to where I want to be down the road, which is in the big leagues.
Yeah, do you see yourself being more working for a team, or could you see yourself ever working at like ESPN or one of those bigger broadcasting companies?
I definitely find myself more on the team side because I like having that connection, following one team around for a whole season and getting those storylines instead of kind of hopping around place to place all season long. And also kind of the uncertainty. There is that on the team side as well with the regional sports networks that having so much turnover. But you feel like there's always going to be at least one broadcaster with each team. But for the networks, you never know what you're going to have. I mean, ESPN, we don't know if they're going to hang around for next season for baseball or where the home of the major leagues are going to be in the near future. That's all up in the air. I like the security of being with one team as well.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. Greg, do you want to jump into your questions?
Yeah, certainly. Just for the record, Ian, I brought this up for you, knowing you were going to be
Love
on
it.
today. So we got to go in that direction for a second and make me a little bit nostalgic here. Talk to me about the things you did from a broadcasting standpoint in college. You talked about getting started in the Baltimore area in high school. How about when you got to Hofstra? What did you do there?
Yeah, so immediately once I got into Hofstra, then it was going through the whole process of trying to get into the radio station there, WRHU. Very competitive process, especially for the sports department. It's a battle to get on-air reps there, but Once I made the connections there, once I started talking to Pete Silverman, our sports professional in residence, I was able to get involved, get on the broadcasts, and baseball, softball. I at least like to think I was one of the leading voices there. I got to call Hofstra softball's trip to the CAA tournament championship in 2022, which we won on a walk-off over Towson. That was a great moment to be on the call for. Didn't get the chance to call them in the NCAA tournament, which they did go to Oklahoma for and face the number one ranked Sooners that were on their 50-plus game unbeaten streak at that point. But it was still a great moment calling that conference tournament. And it wasn't only the on-air opportunities, but off-air, getting the chance to cover the New York Islanders while I was there, going on-site, engineering some of their broadcasts as well at our studios. And just the opportunities that afforded me, which led to some of the connections that I made around the Long Island area. I got to work for a mixed martial arts promotion, Flex Fight Series, be one of their play-by-play commentators. Also, the LI Sports Network, so covering college, club hockey, and high school hockey on Long Island, which led to the opportunity to call Club Nationals last year. They're in Jacksonville this year, not on the call for them, of course. I'm a little bit busy, but Westchester, Pennsylvania last year was definitely a fun experience to go down and be part of that team for a great broadcast.
There's somebody as you were growing up that you listened to from a sportscasting standpoint, and that person helped you realize that, hey, maybe this is something I'd like to do professionally.
So I was very fortunate to be an Orioles fan the time when they had Gary Thorne on TV, Joe Angel on the radio, two guys that are some of the best in the business at what they do. Joe Angel, part of the Orioles Hall of Fame, Gary Thorne, in all likelihood, probably going in soon. But hey, his line of work, not just with the Orioles, but what he did with ESPN is well known, and the Red Sox before that as well. And beyond the local region, if the late Bob Uecker is someone I looked up to a lot. He will be missed on the radio this year. I think I have that in my back pocket for my first home run call. I think I know I'm going to pay homage to him with that. But Bob Uecker is someone I looked up to a lot. Just what he was able to bring onto the air, whether it was a Brewers win or a Brewers miserable loss, you enjoyed listening to the game because of what he brought with the stories and just that feel like you were talking with a friend on the radio. That's someone I really took a lot from in my style on the call.
I remember walking into the broadcast booth during a game last year when you were getting set up, helping me out with a couple of pronunciations, and I was thrown off by a computer screen that looked like a massive spreadsheet that had basically all your information for the broadcast all set up. One, reminding me how much things have changed in 40 years, but also making me want to ask you this: I'm going to get my first chance to do high school baseball play-by-play in a long time this spring. Give me a little bit of a mental cheat sheet on how you set up for doing a baseball broadcast. What information do you need? How do you go about setting it up? How do you go about getting it?
So the different levels is definitely a different approach. For high school, you won't have, the big profile. You won't have the live stats and the exit velocities, pitch velocities, all that kind of stuff, which is something that you can kind of find yourself leaning on at this level. But at high school, particularly, definitely go talk to the coaches and say, hey, who are some guys that have been hot for you recently? Who's starting today? What's he got in his arsenal? What's his repertoire? Who are some guys that you think could really be important for you in today's game? What's your strategy? Definitely at levels like high school, those coaches are going to be paramount for that kind of information. And that's a hurdle for a lot of beginning broadcasters to get over is talking to the coaches, because that can be an intimidating thing for a lot of people, and going and talking to people before the game. Sometimes you just want to show up and call the game, but that's just very bare bones. You won't be able to get a lot of that valuable information that you could miss out on just by going up and talking to the coach and saying, hey, what do you think is going to happen today? That can just give a lot of valuable insight and make for a much more informative and entertaining broadcast.
Explain that spreadsheet to me and how you set yourself up for a broadcast.
That is something I am working on right now, which it's kind of a high risk, high reward type situation because we don't know the minor league rosters right now. It's all looking at last year's roster for our two teams and the first few up on the schedule and figuring this guy might be here this season. Let me see what I think is important about this guy. So, for the college guys, for the college draft picks, that's pretty easy because they have their college websites with their accolades, their stats, their career highs, as well as their minor league stats, maybe from that short cup of coffee after the draft last season. That's easy to get a lot of information on. And sometimes there's that web of connections to say, oh, well, this guy backed up this other guy in college who happens to be a Cardinals top prospect now. That was one of the connections I found today. But that guy might not even be here this season. He might be promoted to the high A level next year, and all that is time wasted. But it might lead to some other information down the road if he ends up back here on a rehab assignment, something like that. You never know. But for the international signing guys, the high school guys, there might not be as much information on them. But then that's when you kind of got to go to work and do some of that hard digging and find information. Even a couple of fun stats are good to have on these guys. I try my best to find some kind of good information on every single player that's going to come in. You'll find that you probably won't use about 90% of the information, at least for myself, that I prep for, but it's always better to be over-prepped, not use it, than be scrambling for information during the game and maybe miss a pitch because you want to give a stat on a guy that you didn't know was going to come in.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the ease of research that you have compared to the way things were in the 1980s. I've realized that myself doing some stuff this winter and how much easier it is to get background on something you don't know much about. Your point about talking to the coaches is absolutely spot on, even today. But it should be more intimidating for them talking to me because they're usually 30 years younger. I'm glad to see you're doing well down there, though.
All right, well, Ian, before you go, I'm going to ask you to stick around for this week's segment of Hunting for Answers because we had a few questions from the fans sent in specifically for you.
All
But
right.
starting off, we have a question from Devin Drake, and this is actually about head coach Matt Paws. She wanted to know what his favorite Taylor Swift song is. I actually reached out to him to get the answer, but I want to hear your guess first.
I would have no clue on what pause he likes for Taylor Swift. I'm not well versed in Taylor Swift's song catalog either. The first one that I could think of is Shake It Off, but then I would have no idea on that, but maybe a shot in the dark, a lucky guess there.
Well, unfortunately, not quite on the mark. I was surprised to learn that he's such a big Taylor Swift fan, but he said that his favorite song is Cruel Summer, so one of her
Okay.
newer songs.
I'm not sure you could not be a Taylor Swift fan and be a high school teacher at the same time. It just kind of, it's got to be like osmosis at some point.
That's a fair point.
Well, next we have another question from Devin. She wanted to ask you, Ian, how would you rate your first base coach experience at the Mountaineers game?
It was great. Getting a win there was also such a fun time. But yeah, definitely a good way to round out that summer. A lot of fun spending time in the dugout with the guys after a long season and having fun with it. Only regret was that I wasn't out there the entire game. But I headed off the field. We started scoring some runs, so we'll take it.
All right, well, our final question is from Garrett Nance. Garrett would like to know who's your favorite Nighthawks coach?
I mean, I can't disrespect Nance by not saying him, right? But I in all honesty, I can't pick my favorite. Everyone brought different things to the table, whether it was good vibes on the bus, always asking me stuff about the broadcast. Coach Boffman last year was really great about asking me, what exactly I was doing because he had a little bit of background in the broadcasting side of things as well. So he was super supportive. on what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go in my career. Pawsey holding down the fort for 2 years, coming back now with the Nighthawks. Great to see him. He's kind of a hallmark of now this Upper Valley franchise. But everyone did some great things with the Nighthawks. Coach Devin as well, the mental performance coach, bringing that new thing to the Nighthawks last season. And Nighthawks are really on the cutting edge in the NECBL of everything, analytics, and now the mental performance side. They're really trailblazers here in the league, and it's great to see them doing new things, being innovative every single year.
All right, well, that concludes this week's segment of Hunting for Answers. Thank you again for your questions, Devin and Garrett. And listeners, please keep submitting questions to the Instagram at UV Nighthawks or on Twitter at UV Nighthawks using the hashtag Hunting for Answers. And a huge thank you to you, Ian, for joining us on the podcast today. We hope to hear from you again soon.
Thanks for having me, and good luck to the Nighthawks this season.
Thank you.
Walk down there, Ian.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So the past couple of episodes, we've been taking a look at the different colleges that our future Upper Valley players will be coming from. Today, I'd like to highlight the University of Richmond Spiders. Now, the Spiders have been off to a phenomenal start with a 12-game winning streak and a 19-2 overall record. This weekend, the Spiders are hitting the road to take on St. Joseph's. Now, there are three University of Richmond players currently on that 2025 Nighthawks roster. It's Ryan Bilka, Jack Archimone, and Aiden O'Keefe. I want to ask you guys, what do you think about these three players and what role do you envision them bringing to the Nighthawks?
Yeah, so just right to start off with some stats on them. So Ryan Bilka, he's a junior right-handed pitcher, and he's appeared in 7 games so far this season with a 0.36 ERA. So he's doing pretty well so far this season. Aiden O'Keefe, he's a redshirt sophomore. He's had 10 runs so far this season and started in 15 games. So almost all of them. So he's definitely been an asset to the team. And then Jack Archimone, he's a sophomore catcher. He received Rookie of the Week honors in 2024, and so far he's started in all the games this season. So he also is a big asset to the team. And honestly, I can envision all three of these players having a pretty big impact on the Nighthawks this summer.
I think the one that most fascinates me is Arcamone. I was looking at his stat numbers, and they're just ridiculous for this early part of the season with a batting average up in the 400 so far early on. But he's also a catcher who's got a little bit of experience, and that could make for a real interesting team this year. As of right now, the Nighthawks are supposed to get Nick Cogliotto back from Fairleigh Dickinson, and anybody who was around the Nighthawks last summer. Know what an influence Nick was by the obvious nickname of Sarge. If you didn't see him in action, you really got the vibe very quickly. Here's a guy who was very mature for his age. He was coming in off his freshman season, still a teenager, yet he was the most vocal, most upbeat guy on the roster. And on top of that, he got better and better as a wood bat hitter as the summer went on, made the All-Star team, batted 280, and ultimately at the end was named, I forget what the title was, but the Sportsman of the Year, I think, for his play in the NECBL. I got to have him over for dinner a number of times, and he was just a fun guy to be around. I could see Arcimone and Quagliato being the foundation of a very good catching rotation for the Nighthawks this summer. The catch is right now, no pun intended, that they have four guys listed as catchers. On top of that, Braze Mitchell out of Iona and a young man from this area, Cameron Boardman from Bradford, Vermont, went to high school up at Oxbow High School and is now down at D3 at University of Hartford. You can't have a very good four catcher rotation at this level. Three is a bit of a stretch. So I'm curious to see how that cottons out over the course of the college season, if that gets reduced, if these are guys who can play in different positions. But right now, I'm excited about the possibility of an Arcimone and Quagliato rotation, as hard as that is to pronounce, at catcher for the Nighthawks this summer.
Yeah, no, these are definitely three very standout players coming from such a great program. So it'll be interesting to see what they can bring to this team. Just having that college experience, being in a good program. And then I like that you mentioned Greg, the chemistry you can envision them having with some of those returning players, that's definitely something exciting to look forward to.
Another interesting thing to point out about one of these guys, the Bilka kid, played 2 years at Wagner College on Staten Island in the Northeast Conference, not one of the stronger baseball conferences in the country, but he stood out there initially as a reliever. He went into last year, voted as the preseason stopper of the year, but within a month, he was starting in the Wagner rotation and putting up really good numbers. So I could see how getting a chance for him to pitch at Richmond, going from Northeast Conference to the Atlantic 10, is a real big step up for him. And he hasn't been a disappointment by any stretch of the imagination. He's got the best ERA in a reliever role for the Spiders this year. And that's going to be a big factor for them as they go further on to the season and head on into the A-10 tournament. Where this works from a Nighthawks perspective is, from my experience, I don't think the Nighthawks go into a season thinking, this guy is going to be our A1 starter. This guy's going to be our B starter. This guy's going to be our stopper or closer. Bilka, if he is that kind of a pitcher, if he is somebody who does the short innings and does them well at the end of a game, he could step right in and be the Nighthawks closer from the get-go, and Upper Valley doesn't have to spend 2, 3 weeks identifying who that person might be.
That's a really good point. We do have a long list of pitchers coming into this bullpen. And as you mentioned, like the college season has really only just started. So they're finding their way within those college rotations. And then they have a couple of weeks once they get to summer ball of just finding that balance, finding what works. So I think if they have a pretty standout season in college, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into them being that starting pitcher for the Nighthawks or always being the leadoff hitter.
Agreed. And on the other side, we never know when they're going to get up here. When you realize what a good record these guys are, 19-2 right now. I checked a little while ago. I think they're somewhere around 35 or 36 in the NCAA RPI in a conference that I think it's going to have a hard time getting more than its tournament champion in the NCAA tournament. You kind of wonder how long their season is going to last. They still have some good competition within the A-10. They still have to go up to Rhode Island, which is looking like the other major competitor in their conference this year. Obviously, they still have to go through the uncertainty of a conference tournament when it gets to that point. So keep in mind that the longer the Spiders go, the later they're going to get here.
That is
Yeah,
definitely
definitely
true.
a good point to make. And not having potentially as much time with the rest of the team to get that, sort of camaraderie going and stuff like that. Like, obviously, these three players will work well together from being on the team together. But with the rest of the Nighthawks, it could definitely be an interesting first few weeks.
Definitely one
You
of the
guys
biggest
come.
hurdles of summer
Yeah,
bowl.
I mean, guys come in, every week somebody fresh comes in at the outset. You've got guys whose seasons are all done. They'll start with a base of 2 dozen, to 30 players maybe, but there's still guys out there who are going to be playing college ball well into the middle of June if they are fortunate enough to do so. And then, of course, more than likely they're going to want a little bit of time off before they show up here. So hold out the hope that they're going to be good baseball players. The numbers show that so far. And also there's the transition of going from the composite bat to the wood bat for the guys who spend more time at the plate. Baseball's the same in the NECBL or the NCAA, so the pitchers are going to do their thing once they get used to the mound and the dimensions. It's a different thing for the batters, but you look at the numbers these guys are putting up, it's interesting. It's very intriguing, very exciting.
Definitely very exciting. I think we have a lot of really great players coming from a number of really great programs. So it'll be exciting watching them make their way in throughout the summer. As you mentioned, they come in at different times throughout the summer, every week a new face. So that'll definitely be interesting to watch the culture kind of grow as well as we see these new faces coming in. But with that, I think that's going to conclude season 3, episode 5 of the Hawks Talk podcast, Intern Takeover. A huge thank you to Ian Bankey for joining us, and thank you to everyone for tuning into this episode. Caitlin, Greg, and I have a lot of excitement planned for the podcast this season. I want to thank Caitlin Beal and Greg Fennell for joining me on the podcast. I'm Phoebe Winters, and this has been the Hawks Talk Podcast.